Good morning and welcome to All Saints Church, Fordham and Atash Green. Today is Sunday the 10th of January, and this is an all-age service with content for children and adults. In the light of the new national lockdown, the Church Council has voted to suspend in-person attendance at our worship services through to February half-term. With me in the building today are just three other people: Martin and Jenny Legood, who will be leading different parts of the service, and Julian Griffiths, who's broadcasting the live stream. This morning, at the beginning of 2021, we ask a fundamental question: who is Jesus? Today's teaching will be from the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, where I want to show you four insights into Jesus' identity. All that you need for today's service can be found in a notice sheet and in a Bible. If you like taking notes and filling in the blanks, you might like to have the notice sheet printed out and a pen ready, as there's space for notes on page 4. As we prepare our hearts to worship God together, I wonder how you're feeling today. Perhaps you join us, eager to praise God and to learn from his scriptures as a new year begins. Or your heart may be heavy with the tightening of the lockdown. Perhaps you're missing seeing your friends from school each day, or despondent about this year's exams being cancelled. You may be sick, or someone dear to you may have died. Or it may be that COVID-19 is creating challenges for your work life or your personal finances. Whatever circumstances you find yourself in today, coming to God in worship and prayer is the best thing you can do. So let's pray together as we begin. O great God of highest heaven, we come before you now. We seek you. We open our hearts to you. We want to know you better and to grow in our understanding of Jesus' identity. Please meet with us during this time. We look to you for hope in the midst of our difficulties. We ask for you to give us strength and your protection. We ask for your healing of our bodies and minds, and that you will renew our hope in your gospel. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first song is a prayer. The lyrics are on page 2 of the service sheet. O great God of highest heaven, let's use it to come before him now.
O great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart. Own it all and reign supreme. Conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists your holy war. You have loved and purchased me, make me yours forevermore. I was blinded by my sin, had no ears to hear your voice, did not know your love within, had no taste for heaven's joys. Then your Spirit gave me life, opened up your word to me. Through the gospel of your Son, gave me endless hope and peace. me now to live a life that's dependent on your grace. Keep my heart and guard my soul from the evils that I face. You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and deed. Oh, great God of highest heaven, glorify your name through me. You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and deed. Oh, great God of highest heaven, glorify your name.
Oh, great God, we thank you for the gospel of your Son. We pray that you'll open up your word of life to us today. Purify us, conquer our sins. Keep our hearts and guard our souls from the evils that we face. Glorify your name through us. Amen. We continue in prayer as we come to confess our sins together. The words of today's confession are on page 3 of the notice sheet. A moment of quiet for personal reflection before we pray the confession together. The grace of God has dawned upon the world through our Savior Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself for us to purify a people as his own. Let us confess our sins together. O God enthroned on high, filling the earth with your glory, holy is your name, Lord God Almighty. In our sinfulness, we cry to you to take our guilt away, and to cleanse our lips to speak your word, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today we consider the question, who is Jesus? And our next children's song gives us an answer to that question. Jesus is the King. You might like to be ready to join in on the hand clap at home.
Jesus is the one, promised one, the Son of God. Jesus is the Lord. He
whatever your age, seeking answers to the question, who is Jesus, is the most important thing that you can do in your life. I'm an enthusiast for the Christianity Explored course because it's designed to give a context where you can ask and answer that question. In fact, the course is based around three questions. Who is Jesus? Why did he come? And what does it mean for us? Our next course will be online, run in partnership with St. Peter's Church, Colchester, beginning on Thursday, the 21st of January at 7:45 p.m. And we're going to watch a short video now with some shots from the weekly videos in the course. Over 7 weeks, Christianity Explored enables you to look for answers in Mark's Gospel through engaging videos, discussion, and your own reading. If you'd like to join the next course, please contact the church office to register or to find out more. And we can post you a free copy of Mark's Gospel for you to read at home. I hope you'll find it a most rewarding experience. Participants need to be 18 or over. And there are further details in today's notice sheet on page 7. Jenny Legood is going to read today's Bible passage from Mark's Gospel.
The reading this morning is taken from the 1984 NIV Bible. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. John the Baptist prepares the way. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, to the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to meet him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the River Jordan. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down to untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven came, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of God.
Jenny, thank you for that Bible reading. When I was at school, I studied French and I took part in an exchange with a French family. On the flight back, a conversation began with the woman sitting next to me, during which she asked me, "What is your opinion of Jesus?" I mumbled in reply because at that stage of my life, I had no real opinion, and I felt a bit awkward about that. I didn't grow up with much teaching about Jesus, just a little bit at school, nothing to speak of at home particularly, and I was perhaps 11 or 12 years old. It was only later, when I was 14, that I started to hear the Bible taught and explained at my senior school. And that question on the plane was a great question for me, so let me ask it to you. What is your opinion of Jesus? We're all on a journey through life. Some of you are in your childhood, at the beginning of that journey. Others have been going a long time. On the journey, we discover different things that interest us. Some we get bored of quickly. Others engage us for a while, but then we move on as we grow up. But some things are of lasting and enduring value. And I found that Jesus is in that last category. He grows more important and more precious to me as the years go on. There's no one like him. Today we're asking the question, who is Jesus? And there's no more important question to ask. And with that, there's no better place to look for an answer than in Mark's gospel. Mark discovered what a special person Jesus was, and he wanted to enable others to discover that as well. So he wrote this short biography of Jesus' life to enable us to find out about him. I wonder if Mark ever imagined that millions of copies of his book would be printed in languages all around the world, or that it would become instantly accessible through the internet. I wonder if he ever imagined that in the year 2021, we would still be reading his book here in Colchester, on the outskirts of what was then the Roman Empire, of which he was part. Mark's gospel informs us so that you and I can have an opinion about Jesus. And if you have sight of a Bible, please do find that passage which we've just heard read by Jenny, Mark chapter 1. We'll look at a couple of details in different verses as we go through. I want us to explore four answers to the question, who is Jesus? Each answered by a different person. And we begin with Mark himself. Who is Jesus according to Mark? Mark tells us who he thinks Jesus is in his very first sentence. Please look at chapter 1, verse 1. "The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Mark tells us that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son. Well, that's a big statement to start things off, isn't it? This is a summary of what Mark wants to teach us about Jesus through his whole book. Mark calls Jesus the Christ, and that can also be translated as Jesus the Messiah. Christ and Messiah both mean the same thing. Christ is a translation from the Greek language, and Messiah from the Hebrew language. So Christ Messiah was a title for the long-expected leader that God was going to give to his people. Israel was waiting for a leader, a king, in the line of Old Testament King David, a descendant of Ruth and Boaz, who we'll be focusing on in a few Sundays' time. Son of God was another way of describing this long-awaited rescuer king. According to Mark, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And this means that according to Mark, Jesus is a king. Mark calls his biography of Jesus gospel, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ. And the word gospel means good news. Mark's book is a good news story. But it's a bit more specific than any old good news story. It's an official announcement that the true king from God has come. Paul Barnett, in his book, The Servant King, explains that inscriptions from the time showed that when important news about a Roman emperor was announced, it was called good news. The Greek word was euangelion, and this word was used for good news announcements. A king coming to power, a king winning a battle. An inscription from 29 BC, so about 30 years before Jesus was born, there's an inscription about the Roman Emperor Augustus, and it's strikingly similar to the opening of Mark's Gospel. It says this: "The birthday of the God marked for the world the beginning of good tidings through his coming." So they considered the Emperor Augustus, his birth, they considered him to be a god. The birthday of the god, i.e. Augustus, marked for the world the beginning of good tidings, gospel, through his coming. This gospel declared that a new age of peace for the war-torn Roman world had begun with the birth of Augustus. Well, Mark understands Jesus as God's true king on the world stage, among the kings and powers and emperors of the world. To put it in today's context, that would be rulers like President Erdogan of Turkey, Joe Biden, imminent president of America, Kim Jong-un of Korea, and of course our own Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. The difference is that they are mostly elected. Jesus was not elected. He's a king, not a president. So who is Jesus according to Mark? Jesus is Christ the King, the Son of God. Secondly, who is Jesus according to Isaiah's prophecy? Mark begins his gospel with a quotation from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied about 700 years before Jesus' birth. Mark understands Isaiah's prophecy to have been fulfilled in the lives of John the Baptist and Jesus. The words of Isaiah tell us John the Baptist's job description, verse 3. "He's a voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord.'" So John the Baptist's job was to point away from himself and to get people ready for the arrival of Jesus the Lord. Lord is another word for someone who's in charge, a ruler, a leader. And here's the amazing thing. It's a little bit detailed, so you'll need to focus. When you go back to the book of Isaiah and find the original quote, chapter 40, verse 3, it turns out that Isaiah was talking about preparing the way, not for any old Lord, but preparing the way for God. Lord in Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 3, is written in capital letters, L-O-R-D. In English Bibles, Lord in capitals signifies a translation of the Hebrew name for God, Yahweh. So Mark tells us that these words, spoken 700 years before Jesus' birth, were a prophecy about Jesus, meaning that Jesus is Yahweh, the Lord. Jesus, according to Isaiah's prophecy, was God walking and talking as a human being. We've just celebrated this wonderful good news over the Christmas season, remembering the Christmas baby in the manger who was the exact representation of God's being. So according to Isaiah's prophecy, Jesus is more than a man. He's Yahweh, the God revealed in the Old Testament. According to Isaiah's prophecy, Jesus is God. And that's how Mark starts his gospel, his introduction to this amazing person. Let's pause for a moment and respond in song to the truths about Jesus' identity that we've just heard. Jesus is Christ the King, and he's more than an ordinary king. He's God and worthy of our worship.
of grace that will stand forever. The angels sing, glory, glory, hallelujah. The light has come. The light has come.
We return to our identity question. Thirdly, who is Jesus according to John the Baptist? As we heard in the Isaiah prophecy, God sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus' coming. And John became very famous in Israelite culture. The whole Judean community went out into the desert to listen to his preaching and to humbly receive baptism as a sign that they were sorry for their sins. Now, a pair of sandals can help us to understand who Jesus is according to John the Baptist. Please have a look with me at verse 7 to see John's opinion of Jesus. After me will come one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. Now, I'm not suggesting that Jesus wore glittery sandals like these. These were the only ones that I could find in the house last night. But John is basically saying that Jesus is much more important than he is himself. John used a servant image to explain his low status compared to Jesus. He, John, isn't even worthy to do the most humble task for Jesus, untying and taking off his shoes. It's an expression, a turn of phrase, isn't it? John goes on in verse 8. I baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Again, John is much less important than Jesus. John's baptism used ordinary water, just like our baptisms do today. But Jesus will baptize with God's Holy Spirit. And again, this speaks of Jesus' divine power and authority. So who is Jesus according to John the Baptist? Jesus is the Holy Spirit baptizer, who's much more important in God's purposes than John is. Finally, who is Jesus according to God the Father? In chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, Jesus travels from Nazareth, where he lived, to the River Jordan so that he could be baptized by John. And when Jesus is baptized, an amazing thing happens. A voice from heaven speaks and says, verse 11, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is God speaking, God the Father. And these words are very important because they tell us who God thinks Jesus is. God the Father tells us that Jesus is his son, that he loves him, that he's very pleased with him. God could have given any message at that moment, but these are the three things that he declared. And this connects with Mark's opening line where he wrote that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, I explained earlier that Son of God was another way of saying God's special King, the Christ. But when we put this together with God the Father's words at Jesus' baptism and the words from Isaiah's prophecy, we can see that Jesus is much more than just a regular Israelite king. Jesus is the Son of God in a special way, beyond all the previous kings of Israel. At Jesus' baptism, we see God the Trinity in action. Jesus is in the Jordan River with John, and as Jesus comes up out of the water, heaven is torn open, and the Spirit comes down on him like a dove. Old Testament kings were anointed with olive oil on the head to mark the moment when they became king. The titles Christ and Messiah literally mean anointed one, because anointing with oil was the symbol of appointing someone as a king. The oil was a symbol of the king being anointed with the Holy Spirit to give him power to rule well and to rule wisely. When Jesus came up out of the water, God the Father anointed him with the Holy Spirit as a sign to us of his kingship. Verse 10 tells us that John saw heaven torn open and the Spirit descending on him, Jesus, like a dove. In the baptism of Jesus, we see God the Trinity in action in a special way. God the Father speaks and sends the Holy Spirit. The Spirit descends on Jesus, and Jesus is baptized by the Spirit. The three persons of the Trinity are all there, but they aren't identical. Each has a different role. Was God the Father baptized? No, he wasn't. Was the Spirit baptized? No, Jesus was baptized. Did Jesus send the Spirit? No, he didn't. Did the Spirit send the Father? No. Did the Spirit come down on Jesus? Yes. The three persons of the Trinity are all present, but they aren't identical in their actions. We see them interacting, and we see their distinct roles. And this tells us something about the Trinity. One God, but three persons. God the Father tells us that Jesus is his beloved Son, and he anoints him with the Holy Spirit as a sign to us of Jesus' kingship. So who is Jesus according to God the Father? Jesus is his Son. He loves him and he approves of him. So in summary, as I come to the end of this talk, in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, we've seen four answers to the question, who is Jesus? Four answers from different perspectives, but all together revealing Jesus' identity. According to Mark, Jesus is Christ the King, the Son of God. His coming is good news. According to Isaiah's prophecy, Jesus is the Lord, L-O-R-D in capital letters, meaning God, known by the name Yahweh. According to John the Baptist, Jesus is the Holy Spirit baptizer, who's much more important than he, John, is. And according to God the Father, Jesus is his Son. He loves him and he's really pleased with him. As a schoolboy, on that flight returning from France, I didn't have a clear opinion about Jesus. But as I started to hear the Bible explained later on in my teenage years, an opinion started to form. And these four explanations of Jesus' identity show us that each of us can have an opinion about Jesus. If the great God of heaven loves Jesus, it shows us that we should love him as well. If God the Father is pleased with Jesus, then we should be pleased with Jesus as well and delight in him. Our next song helps us to do that. I invite you to worship Jesus in your home with the song, What a Beautiful Name.
You. Found on page 2 of the notice sheet. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us, and rose again? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world? We believe and trust in him. This is the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now in prayer. Almighty Heavenly Father, we bring our thanks and petitions to the infinite, eternal, and unchanging God who cares for us. We praise you for sending your Son, by whom you created the world. He upholds the universe by the word of his power, and yet came and humbled himself by becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Having made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and is the ruler of kings on earth. Heavenly Father, at a time of crisis in our world, with COVID-19 disrupting so much, we ask for your mercy and grace. We thank you that as a nation we've been humbled, and still we see your kindness to us. At a time when many are contemplating their mortality, we pray that the gospel will be heard, that there would be a new consciousness of sin and the need for the Saviour. So we pray for Christian leaders and evangelists, as they seek to reach out to the lost at this difficult time. We thank you for the NHS and the wonderful staff who work so hard for caring for others. How blessed we are.
Let us pray the collect. Eternal Father, who at the baptism of Jesus revealed him to be your Son, anointing him with the Holy Spirit, grant us, who are born again by water and the Spirit, that we may be fruitful to our calling as your adopted children, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And dearest Lord, you, O Lord, give wisdom and guidance, humility and strength to your servants. We pray for Francis as he continues to shepherd your flock in Fordham and Atash Green. We pray he never feels alone in his ministry. We pray, merciful Lord, that you would open the hearts of us, the congregation, to be sensitive to Francis's needs and act accordingly and in obedience to your guiding. Father, we pray you bring to us a youth leader, a man whose desire is to see souls saved, one who can relate to the young and impart your truths to them in a way that they will grow and flourish under his ministry. We pray for the children now, that you may prepare their hearts and minds to love you and discern the dangers that all the world will throw at them. Keep them safe, Lord, we pray.
Heavenly Father, we pray for our government. As our leaders are under enormous stress, may you guide them in the decision making. Please help Boris Johnson and the Cabinet and all the scientific and medical professionals who give advice. And as the vaccine distribution really picks up speed with the help of the Army, we pray that their efforts bring success. We bring to you, O Lord, our great physician, those within our flock who are unwell and isolated at this time. Please heal them. But most of all, may they know your peace and the knowledge that not one sparrow falls to the ground without your will. And they are much more precious than many sparrows. You not only know all things, but also will all things. And this is a great comfort to us all. We now finish with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Martin and Jenny, thank you for leading us in prayer. Some church family news as we come towards the end of this service. With this new lockdown, we need to stay in touch with each other more than ever. So please do think about who you can encourage in the church family with a phone call. I look forward to seeing you at 11:30 this morning for our regular virtual coffee on Zoom. This is a great way to stay connected when we can't meet physically. And it is now possible to join in on the Zoom via a telephone. If you're not on the church email list and you'd like to join the weekly invite to the Zoom virtual coffee, just send me an email and I'll get the link to you. The care team is available if you would like pastoral support, prayer, or conversation. Their contact details are in the notice sheet, and they'll be meeting this Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. as well. The All Saints Club begins again online this afternoon, 3 p.m. for 4 to 11-year-olds and 4 p.m. for 11 to 15-year-olds. Do please pray for God's blessing on this important ministry. If you'd like to join in over the coming weeks, your parents will need to complete a consent form, and details are in today's notice sheet. A video has been put together of our Christmas Eve carol service, Carols by Starlight, and that's now published and should be on the YouTube channel today if you'd like to watch that. The John Owen Barn is now closed to the public and to members of the congregation. So please don't come to the JOB until the situation is reassessed. I'm going to continue to work from there and can be contacted on my regular office number and by email. We've made some adjustments to the office team's weekly pattern. Linda Stenner will continue to work from the church office. So she'll be downstairs in the church office. I'll be upstairs in my office. Rachel Gage and Joanna Arthur will be working from home from next week. And details of the slightly amended office opening hours are on the notice sheet. Next Sunday will be a special covenant renewal service. This is a practice from John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church. And at the heart of the service is a prayer, which I will invite you to say next Sunday. We'll say it individually, and we'll also say it together corporately as a church community. Through this prayer, we will be completely offering ourselves to God for his will and purpose. The prayer is printed on page 5 of today's notice sheet. It's profound and challenging. It's a profound and challenging commitment to make, and that's why I'm giving it to you a week in advance so that you have time to think about whether you're really willing and able to make such a commitment. There are some questions there as well to help you think it through. In 2 Sundays' time, we start a new teaching series on the Old Testament book of Ruth. This will run over 4 Sundays, and growth groups will be studying the book alongside that. If you're not already in a growth group, I encourage you to join one as the new year and the new teaching series begins. Growth groups currently meet online, and they're a great way to grow in relationship with God and also with one another within the church community. Please contact the church office if you're interested. And please continue to play your part in limiting the spread of the virus by practicing hands, face, and space. Remember to wash your hands for 20 seconds. Let's finish with a prayer and the blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, for giving him to us. We thank you for Mark's gospel to reveal his identity to him. And we pray, Father, you give each of us a true vision of who Jesus is, that we would have the right and the real answer to that question, who is Jesus? Please lead our way this week. And may Christ, the Son of God, perfect in you the image of his glory, and gladden your hearts with the good news of his kingdom. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.